This is Renovating Masculinity. To become authentic, great men, we must intentionally build ourselves to be a place of safety and protection for others.
Each week, JT, Anthony, and myself, Chris, will challenge you to rethink old habits so you can remove thoughts that hinder you and replace them with actions that strengthen you as a man.
So let's get to work.
There you go.
Oh, there you go. Come
JT
on now.
Is jamming over there.
Yeah.
How you doing this morning, Anthony?
I'm good, bro. I'm good. I'm rested. I'm off today, too. Always a good day.
You're off today.
Yes, sir.
Now, is that off from work or off?
You tell me.
When does this ever end with you guys? I love it, man. The banter is thick.
He just gives me so much material.
We've braided it into the character of the show.
It's apparently there, man.
Yeah.
It's
like,
the character of the show?
Yeah.
It's
the lack of character in the show.
You better come in with some thick skin in this show, man.
Dude, it's so, real life, bro.
Hey, so again, that voice that you hear is not Chris T. Chris is, again, spending time with his family. So we have Lyndon Barrington Allen.
Thank you, my brother.
Back on the show. And if you don't know who he is, I'm not going to introduce him again. Go back and listen to the last episode. So
he's just a stud among men.
He is too kind.
He is my band of brothers, that's for sure. We have spent the last couple shows talking about sex, and we're going to continue, but we're going to continue a little differently this time. We're going to talk about sex inside of marriage, because on the Facebook page, again, when I say that, if you don't know what that is, that's our private Facebook page. Just go to Facebook, search Renovating Masculinity. Man, a lot of things happen inside that Facebook page that are really cool. A lot of guys enjoying the wisdom that they gain from guys. There's a lot of wise guys in there. Wise guys.
Yeah, and there's young guys, older guys, married guys, single guys, Christian guys, atheist guys. There's all kinds of guys, different belief systems. There's men from the U.S. I think we're up to 31 countries represented, listeners to the podcast and members in that group. So there's a diverse community of men. And simply because we talk about our personal ideas, it's not the only idea that it gets discussed in our Facebook group, and it's not the only one that we're open to have discussed, period. But please look at that Facebook group and share the podcast. We've never actually asked you to do that. If you listen to us and you enjoy what we do, would you do us a favor and share our podcast with a few guys today?
Right. Yeah. Because we think that maybe we're deceived.
Yeah.
But I mean, we do feel very strongly that this adds value to men's life.
Oh, absolutely.
And it gives them, no matter your background, it gives men just a different thought, a different thought process, maybe something they've never thought of, thought about.
Which is always valuable.
Always valuable. If we can grow that in a man where he thinks differently a little bit, I'll take that all day long.
Amen.
So one thing that we're just kind of discussing off air is, sex in marriage, a lot of questions about the sex bed, so to speak. And Lyndon, you said something that is just so key.
Because it's the truth.
Yeah. So we're going to start this one because we are going to talk about sex in marriage. And again, the Facebook group, man, they ask some pretty great questions.
Yeah.
Some questions I've not really thought through that they ask. Like, man, I don't think I've ever been asked that question. And some of them, because they're, they're crazy. But it's like, what did they ask?
Yeah.
So what's the one, Anthony, that you wanted to start with?
Yeah, and it's pretty cool because, pre-show, we kind of discussed some things. And what bubbled up right here was very impressive. And we were like, man, let's start the show with that question right there. So the question was simply, it says, in relationship to sex, it says toys.
Mm, some cars. Or,
do you feel they diminish your masculinity or add to it? I think you know what toys.
We're talking sex toys.
Yeah. Sex, so there you go. Toys. We're going to give you that question,
listen,
sir.
Listen, guys.
There you go.
Guys, if you're out there and there are issues medically or physically within the relationship, don't feel emasculated if you are still able to have a moment of sexual pleasure with your wife by pleasuring her. if there are things that are going on physically with you that predispose you to not being that guy you used to be, fine. The marriage bed is undefiled, the Bible says. If it's okay between you and your wife, go ahead. Does that mean handcuff her from the chandelier and go at? I don't think so, because there's no the pain is not associated, and shackling. God's about freedom and bringing us abundant life, bringing us life. Not in the marriage bed where he would want pain associated. Our culture right now is moving sexuality in the realm of pain, and those two are mutually exclusive. So the marriage bed is undefiled. It's all about what is biblically fine between the two of you in terms of pleasure, and that can range from a toy to no toy to certain positions to certain outfits, lingerie works or no lingerie. Eventually, that's what should happen. Anyway, but it is about the marriage bed being undefiled. So, yeah,
and on a practical note,
no shame and guilt there.
This is just something to think about. This is a true story, by the way. So, a man and wife were into. Why are you laughing at me already?
I have this friend.
I'm asking for a friend.
I got a friend that.
Look, I can guarantee this is not me. So a couple were into role play. And so this guy, I read this, I could not believe it. So this guy put on a Batman costume and handcuffed his wife to the bed. Arms out, sprawled, legs sprawled, and he was going to rescue her. So he gets up on top of the dresser, and he's going to, like, jump into the, you know, not jump on her, but jump like he's coming into the room, slips, falls, hits his head, knocks himself out.
Oh, my goodness.
So here she is. She can't do anything. She doesn't know whether he's dead, what's going on. So she just starts screaming for help. And the neighbor comes over.
Oh, my goodness.
And there she is.
Stark
naked. And I just have that image in my head of—
All four extremities handcuffed?
Yes. I am not taking any chances in my bedroom that my wife is going to have to call.
Yeah.
I don't have any more confidence in the HIPAA laws right now. There's no way that should have gotten out about my family. I don't understand
this
how
is
this
your family.
I don't understand how it gets out.
Hi, Bruce.
I thought you were Superman. So I did change the Batman just to kind of conceal the guilty. Okay.
Hey, but I'm not letting you get away, Lennon. So let's get specific. So vibrators?
Well, that's a toy.
So that's like the end of my expertise in toys. Actually, I can't even think of another.
Did you read about that?
We are not toy users. I'm just going to be specific. Yeah, we're not toy users.
Yeah.
But I don't want to guilt. I know that they're out there, and there are certain situations I've counseled couples where, you know, she still has desire. He's not able to do it, but they get around it. And sometimes the toy does it.
Yeah, so let's...
I'm not an expert in that area, but I don't want to put guilt on people.
So I'm going to decipher what he just said. So they're getting after it, and he's done, and she's not done yet, is the scenario you're coming up with, right?
Or he has no ability to sustain an erection or even have one.
So let's be clear about what we're talking about. And that kind of walks us into ED and erectile dysfunction and all those kinds of things. So we're talking about inside of this marriage, things that pertain to sex. And so what about that erectile dysfunction as men age and all of that? And you mentioned a great thing in relationship to a man's virility and his ability to continue to be the man that he needs to be sexually as he gets older.
If you're living in this culture, you are hearing ads about erectile dysfunction. You're hearing them. Now, you may not even be suffering from that, but because of the psychosomatic response to what you're hearing, it starts to happen to you.
Do you know what psychosomatic means, Anthony?
It means you have a motorcycle and it's not a individual shift.
It's automatic.
It means you're a systematic psycho.
Boy, that's Kentucky learning right there.
You hear it and now you
the minions will come out if you start talking about Kentucky now.
The minions are back.
Calm down.
Hot town boy right there.
I know Brian's listening right now going, you better back off.
Producer of this show. Have we lost our way, producer of this show?
He's cranking his truck.
Yeah. Oh God.
So if you, sometimes you hear things and you think, well, that's happening to me. You have this response of, because I hear it, it starts to happen to me. I'm going to tell you what I do when I hear ED commercials. I shut it off. Because ED has showed up more prevalently in our society because, A, guys are watching pornography. We talked about that a couple episodes back. You're overexposing yourselves to sexual material, and you weren't designed for that. You were designed for rest. There's a reason why you release. You go to sleep. Yep. You want a sedative? Have sex with your wife. And my wife knows when I'm done. I'm gone.
He's out.
It's the hill you want to die on. You want to die on that hill.
How did you know that that's a secret? Like goal of mine
to die just making love to your wife.
Yeah, I mean, how cool would that be?
You sure?
First of all,
you're gonna leave a bunch of work for her to do when you're.
No, I'm talking like when I'm 90.
Oh, when you're 90.
Oh yeah.
I want it to be that you make love and you go to sleep, you just wake up into the kingdom. You just wake up.
I mean, that's just like the greatest ever.
But anyway. It's about what you hear. If you're hearing these things, shut it off. Because my wife and I, when it comes to my desire for her, what I say to myself does matter.
It matters a lot.
It does matter because here's, and I'm just going to let you into my life. You know, this is a transparent show. I'm going to let you into my life. I don't claim that ED stuff. Don't suffer from it, but I don't claim it.
Yeah.
I don't even want the thought of it in my head. And the reason why it's so prevalent in our culture, because we're over-sexualized. And all I hear about is, oh, now you can get it discreetly in the mail. And because there's a certain amount of shame of a man not being able to perform for his bride. Try this, gentlemen. Try declaring to yourself, I am sexually virile for my bride and call her name. I have long sustained ability for my wife to please her because in marriage, sexuality should be about giving, not taking.
Go ahead and say that again. It's about what?
In marriage, sexuality should be about giving, not taking. So when it comes to a thought.
And if you have sex outside of marriage.
It's about taking.
It's about taking, not giving. That's the change that we talked about last time that really does happen. So I just wanted to point that out.
So we got thoughts. Guys have thoughts in their heads. And you mentioned that before, JT, in the last couple of episodes about a thought. When a thought comes to your head about, oh, man, ED, is that me possibly? I don't want to. And you start going down this trail of, well, it could happen to me because I'm hearing all these commercials. Might I need that? Just shut it off and claim a new thought. By a new confession, because you can't change the thoughts in your heads by just new thoughts. You have to bring a different confession out of your mouth, which produces a thought, because a word leads to a thought. Yep. Give an example. You guys know the alphabet song, right? A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Now, if you were to just think about that melody without saying it, just the two of you just think that melody. Now go. And you're thinking the melody, you hear it. Now say your name.
Anthony.
No, well, that's your. See, you're proving my point right now by starting to talk. You are not thinking about that, the melody anymore.
Right.
Because what you say cancels out the thoughts in your head.
There you go.
You say cancels those things out. Huh. And if you are not saying the right things to yourself, you'll start to be overwhelmed by your thoughts. So when I hear all this ED stuff, and, you know, I'm in my 50s, and I know that that's out there.
Yeah.
I don't know your politics, I don't care, but you got the current president, he sired a child in his 60s.
Yeah.
It can happen. Abraham sired a child in his 90s.
Yeah.
So you're not done, because the enemy of this culture knows what they put out there is designed to bring you down. When God wants you to be powerful from glory to glory, and you can do it. So say to yourself, I am a strong and virile man for my wife. I provide her sustained ability to give her pleasure, and just make that your declaration and watch what happens. When your brain hears, oh, we're supposed to be virile? Look out. Now, if it lasts more than 4 hours, go see a doctor.
Yeah, absolutely.
But no pill. You may not need a pill. It may be just tell yourself.
Or speaking of the alphabet, mm-hmm. which you brought up, this WAP song. There's your alphabet.
Wow.
You could be listening to things like that.
Yes.
And having a certain expectations that's unrealistic.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Isn't it weird that it's turned into like this anthem too for the female generation? I don't understand that part of it too.
So here's the craziness about that song. So that song had five writers. Okay. We're talking about the WAP song by Cardi B.
Yeah.
So five writers, two of which are women, three are guys. So you had three guys writing a song for the so-called women empowerment.
Jeez.
Now, I promise you, I don't know this for a fact, but I guarantee you they probably wrote most of the song. Because just think of the lyrics of the song. No that's woman is going to write that. I know.
That's the fantasy of every guy to have it like that.
But back to my point is like, maybe you're listening to things like that. It's like what the movie that came out, 50 Shades of Grey, mm-hmm. right? That movie and movies like that, not just that one, set expectations of fantasy mm-hmm. that cannot be duplicated in a marriage bed.
And ultimately,
at least not sustainable.
And it's ultimately detrimental to how we think and approach our married lives. And our wives are held to this standard that is guttural and unrealistic and is not sustainable.
How'd you like that word?
So wait, you two old guys think that music
wait
that
a minute,
I listen
I see
to,
that beard. I you, see that beard, man.
You two old guys.
I'm the youngest at the
think
table.
That music that I might listen to or movies that I might see or images that I might look at might compete in my mind while I'm trying to make love to my wife and cause me not to be able to get aroused. Is that what you're trying to tell
Can
me?
Can I give you the short answer?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That was a lob. Yeah, yes. I completely get it. And when you look at it in that relationship, man, that if we have a template or a collection of images that we are used to being aroused by, and they're very overly sexualized or very mm-hmm. vivid.
Explicit.
Mm-hmm. If that's what we're used to being aroused by, and then in our bed, our wife wants to cuddle and she wants to kiss or she wants to lay near us or massage our back, those kinds of things are not quite as explicit. So maybe they don't take us to the same place. So maybe we're creating some of this erectile dysfunction in our own lives by what we're consuming.
Goodness. Yeah.
Absolutely. The other thing too is you have to look at your health.
And bingo.
And again, over the last couple months, I've been on this, talking about renovating. I've been renovating my health.
And you're doing a great job, man. You're looking good.
Thank you.
Yeah, he's got a prenuptial jawline. It's starting to come out.
You like a jawline?
Yeah, looking like Hercules.
So I wouldn't go that far.
Hercules.
You caught that one, man. Yeah. Appreciate it.
He does not need help, Lyndon.
I do.
But I know that. Because I've taken my health more serious.
Yeah.
That it actually has changed I'm not going to say my sex drive, but it has changed my...
I was hoping you would, but...
That would have been awesome.
but it has changed... That may have changed my wife's sex drive.
Yeah.
But for the better. But it has changed the perception of myself.
Yeah.
Which gives me a certain level of confidence.
Absolutely.
Which changes my performance.
Mm-hmm.
It just mm-hmm. it goes back to what you said, Lyndon. It's I'm hearing myself talk about myself differently.
Yeah.
And we know that what we say, what we hear, what we taste, what we smell, all those things really do control what we think. And I just, again, so guys, if you're having issues in the bedroom, I mean, maybe just look at your health. And mm-hmm. are you taking that seriously? Because I'm telling you, that is going to change your body, how you feel about your body and your body in general.
I wanted to piggyback on what you said about sometimes the things we see and say and you know we're watching and such. I remember JT giving a really cool illustration between a Snickers bar and real strawberry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I say that. I use that all the time.
And it's so true, man. If you're just used to eating junk food.
What he's talking about is there's a natural way and then there's an unnatural way, or a healthy way and an unhealthy way.
And I don't want to slam Snickers, but you know, candy bar.
So the comparison is this, is if you're hungry and you eat a strawberry, there's something about that strawberry.
Delicious.
Oh my gosh. The fructose, the sugar, you know, the natural sugars in it are just amazing. It's so satisfying. But if you take that same strawberry and you eat a candy bar first, so I'm going to take a bite of a candy bar, then I'm going to take a bite of the strawberry. The strawberry seems extremely sour.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, the only thing that changed in it is that you ate something that's unnatural first.
Right.
Because there's no Snickers trees.
Mm-hmm.
There's no candy bar trees anywhere. So this is a man-made product
mm-hmm.
versus a God-made product.
Yeah.
Or and that artificial sugar is re-engineering your taste buds.
That's correct.
To desire something more sweet than just have a strawberry. Now, if you were to cut the junk food out, and meaning you stop all the porno, you stop all the Instagram. Instagram gets you in trouble, guys.
Yes, sir.
Instagram will get you in trouble in an instant.
Yep.
They don't call it instant for nothing.
Yep.
If you cut all that stuff out and then you go take a bite of your bride, all of a sudden like, hey, this is great. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Hey, so before we walk away from ED and then you mentioned health, I just want to remind you, like, let's really take an off ramp and take a serious moment with that. So a couple of things that I know from talking to my doctor, if you're in the Nashville area and you're looking for a keep it real doctor, like Dr. Tony Ross, I'm going to give you a shout out right now. Boy, I got real right. Texas.
You got
I got real Texas right there.
You sure
I'm,
did.
I'm going to give you a shout out, Dr. Tony Ross, because he's the kind of doctor that I would probably be like that would say things that you're like, I can't believe he just told me that. So this is like 3, 4, 5, I don't know how many years ago. And man, I had gotten up to my heaviest and I think I was around 280. And I walk in and he goes, we're talking about it. And you know, they always, your weight comes up and he goes, you're not going to lose any weight, are you? And I'm like, yeah, man, I want to lose some weight. And he goes, nah, you're not going to lose any weight because you don't care about sex. And I'm like, huh? He's like, yeah, because just keep going, just keep gaining weight and it won't come up anymore. And he did his finger like that, you know, it's not going to come up anymore. And I'm like,
I love this guy.
I'm going on a 30-day fast.
Dude, and like literally, I'm telling you, it was the thing that changed my mind to put me on this journey because I do want it to come up.
Of course.
And here's the thing. I said that to be funny, but I want you to know that like being really overweight can have a problem on sure blood can. Getting to the places that it needs to be. Having high blood pressure can cause blood not to go to those places in your body where you want it to go.
Mm-hmm.
Having high cholesterol can be issues like that. So being healthy has more than just an advantage for looking good and feeling well, like literally in the way that your body functions and the ability to get an erection is built off of your blood vessels and blood being able to travel to the places that it needs to go. So that's something else to look at too. That's another encouragement for you to try and get health in place. And men, the last thing on this is stop being afraid to go to the doctor.
Yeah.
Stop being
afraid. You don't
afraid.
Know everything.
Yeah.
We don't know everything. We don't.
No. And Pastor Rice always says that men avoid the doctor like they think they're going to go there and catch something. You don't catch things at the doctor. They just reveal to you what's already going on. Yeah. So anyway, that's all I wanted to say on that.
But health.
Yes.
Gentlemen, exercise.
Mm-hmm.
A natural release of testosterone comes from exercise. Get out there and do it.
And heavy weight too. If you can, the heaviest that you can manage, that's good too.
Yeah. There's a question on Facebook that really was hilarious. And so I just want to
throw it out there.
I do because he took the time to write it. Oh, so
wait. Something just came to me. Something just came to me about exercise.
What?
The Bible says bodily exercise profits little. But you see, the little things to God are really, really big because he's so big. If you can bodily exercise, yeah, man, it's a blood show. Get the blood to the right place.
So, Richard, this is a great question. He says, nobody ever does a show on concubines.
And we're not going to do one today.
So let me just say, I got one statement on that. You know how hard it is to keep one woman happy?
No kidding, man.
And you want me to go have several? That's the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, not sustainable. Not sustainable.
But it is good.
If it were, then Adam would have had more than just Eve that one day.
And nobody in scripture that had concubines, it worked out for them.
Yeah, it's just not a good life.
It's not good.
What about, here's another question. Are there strategies in place in a healthy marriage to ask for things that you want sexually?
So, you know, where my mind goes to the first thought was, where are you getting those things?
But what if it's legitimate? What if, okay. what if you just want a different position? Or what if your wife is only into the missionary and you'd like to do something else? Or
the drunken cowboy?
The drunken cowboy. What if you really want to get into that drunken cowboy?
Internet is dark on this subject. I just want you to know.
You looked it up.
No, I haven't. I'm just assuming.
I'm not looking up drunken cowboy. I'm afraid of what I might find.
Yeah, man.
I'll draw you a picture later, JT.
Oh, geez. I don't know. Some things you can't unsee. I would really not like to see that. Again, it goes back to, if it's legit, it goes back to where we all started this conversation many, many episodes ago, was intimacy.
Yeah.
Are you really having intimacy with your wife, which means not sex, but spending time with her, learning her? Because it seems to me that conversation would be easier if you're already having conversations about a plethora of things,
sure,
that are deep, that are meaningful,
mm-hmm.
that conversation would be pretty easy, I think. For my own relationship with my bride, I know that we've had those kind of discussions on both sides. I mean, it's not just me, it's both sides. And they've tended to be pretty like, okay. I think that if you don't know how to communicate with your wife, it actually does come down to communication,
yeah. mm-hmm.
which is a big deal in marriage, that if you've not nourished that or planted those seeds of good communication, I could see where it could be a difficult conversation.
Yeah, here's the thing to remember, that we all listen through the lens or through the filter of our wounds. I mean, we talked about that several shows ago. Yep. So just think about it, like when you're having those discussions, think about your wife saying to you, hey, I wish you would really last longer. And it uncovers an insecurity or something in you, and you don't know how to deal with it, so you react in anger, when what you really are maybe is disappointed or embarrassed. But it only takes maybe one of those times for you to react out of a wound to discourage your wife from ever asking again.
Mm.
But in that moment, if she's strong enough emotionally to dig into why you reacted the way that you did, then maybe you two can work through some things. So you open yourself up to hearing a response that is filtered through a wound when you begin to talk about things as intimate as sex. So I know that it is very troubling, and even in my own household, when we've had these kinds of discussions, the opportunity is there for you to be misheard. And it's very tricky. I don't have a trick for you to answer your question, but I know that you have to be open to listen carefully. And if you get a response that doesn't match the question, it's another great opportunity to go, What triggered that? Yeah, what did that do? And it's going to create another moment of intimacy for you to kind of dig down into something else and create, maybe this doesn't get settled this time. Maybe it doesn't, you know, you're not able to really discuss it fully this time, but it creates an environment where those types of discussions become easier and easier. And you have to be open to hearing those kinds of things yourself. And mm-hmm. some questions as well is to ask first, whatever that thing, if you want different positions or if you want XYZ, ask your wife maybe, hey, is there something that I could do differently for you? Would you like a longer amount of foreplay? Would you like XYZ? And maybe that gives her the opportunity to speak to you mm-hmm. honestly, and then don't get offended. Don't listen to it through your wound, and maybe she'll be more apt to be able to hear from you. That's the only thing I have. Has mm-hmm. it been successful every time I had that discussion or something like that with my wife? Absolutely not. I'm not a professional in any of this. I'm struggling through marriage and trying to figure out how to be a husband myself. But I know that we have to get ready to hear responses sometimes that are filtered through a wound.
And then when you hear those things, like when you hear back from, get that feedback from your bride, then work towards satisfying that desire. Just work toward it, because it's always about, again, giving in mm-hmm. marriage. And not taking, sexually giving. Maybe start thinking about, hey, you know what? Before I climax, I want my wife to do that first.
Oh, absolutely.
Start shifting your thinking there. Like, let her climax first. And for most women, it's about 15 minutes. So start adjusting your mind. Lord, I'm going to go longer. And you will, but you're going to have to cut out the other. You're going to have to cut out the candy bars.
Mm-hmm.
Cut out the candy bars and let
do some Kegels.
Kegels.
What?
Kegels.
Yeah.
Do whatever it takes to help you last longer. And there are things that you can do mentally. Just start saying, I'm going to last. Have you ever said that to yourself? I'm going to last longer. I am a long-performing, sexually virile man for my wife. Just say that to yourself and watch what happens.
Because actually, it's cool about our brains is you confess that and your mind will start acting that out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we change and combat those old thoughts.
New confessions.
New confessions, which become new thoughts, which become new actions. It's the way that this works. You know, I was thinking about a question because we've been talking about communication and intimacy and all this stuff. And this question just came to my mind. It was because we talked about not doing things right in the beginning, maybe, or maybe even right in our marriage how would going to our wives and repenting for our past affect our marriage?
Wow. Mm. Just renouncing all the...
Just going back and go, you know what? In this area, man, I totally did not get this right. And
Just germane to her?
Germane to her.
Okay.
And just saying, man, I just didn't really get this right. And I just want you to know I'm sorry about that. And I'm going to do better.
That's good.
Here's the thing about that. That is intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
Every guy out there, single guys, married guys, everybody listen to me. Your wife or your wife-to-be wants that type of intimacy that you share with her things that you're not going to share with anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
That is, you talking about affecting her feelings for you, because once she has those feelings, then the whole sex thing works itself out.
Every time. And I love how we are really trying to change the association of the word intimacy from only being with sex.
Yeah.
Because intimacy is not only sexual. There's the spiritual intimacy and that emotional intimacy. And of course, the intellectual intimacy, our wives are going to crave that. And it's vitally important if you get anything from this, that intimacy is not just sexual. Our desire is to help you bake a cake on top of which you can put icing and not have your relationship only be about the icing, because that's not sustainable. You will never get nourished. You won't really truly be satisfied with something substantive.
Yeah. And it goes back to, you know, again, building, renovating. The whole sex thing is your furnishings.
Yeah.
How you build that relationship, like starting from the ground up, laying that foundation, framing the character of that relationship, putting the roof on. I mean, just doing everything necessary to actually house the furnishings.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always thought about it. I always think about things.
You don't bring furnishings into a house with no roof on, because you'll be damaging those things. And you'll have to start over and buy something new again.
And it's not going to last.
Not sustainable.
It's not going to last.
Hey, there was one other question. And, you know, it's funny too, man. Having men around, sometimes you'll read a question and you go, man, that one's a pretty simple one. But until you have men around really to answer questions, nothing is simple.
Right.
And like men, there's men that don't know how to tie a tie because nobody's ever shown them.
Right.
So it's a simple process, but really it can become difficult if there's nobody to show you. So one guy says that, is it a fact that you should reveal that you are either sterile because you've had, you know, a snip-snip, or that the wife or the woman should reveal that she is sterile because she's had a process as well? Is that something that is should be revealed in the relationship?
Where's the relationship going?
I guess this is in a dating relationship. Like it hasn't gone to marriage or anything like that, but is it something that you feel like you should just reveal?
And it sounds like, I'm just assuming, that this is a second marriage, or because if you're
dating relationship.
Yeah. That you've been married, you've had children.
Yeah.
So you get a vasectomy, or she gets a
hysterectomy.
So I'm assuming that Lyndon's right. I mean, if you feel that relationship is going to go somewhere, I would absolutely be honest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's one of the seven pillars of marriage, so to speak, is honesty.
Yeah.
And transparency about, hey, this is, you know, this is who I am. This is what I've experienced in the past. Mm-hmm. This, you know, this is the good and the bad and the ugly.
Mm-hmm.
again, because what you do to get married is what you're going to have to do to continue to be married. So if you're not honest in the beginning, then all of a sudden you get married and you're honest.
Yes.
Man, that causes, then that's when they go, I don't know who you are.
Yeah.
You're not the person I married.
What would it feel like to get on the other side of a marriage and then have someone say, oh yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, I need to tell you this.
And it's major.
Yeah.
And you knew it prior. It's not something new. Yeah, that would be not
dishonest. So it's going to erode. It's going to erode.
Yeah. It's just flat out dishonest.
It's dishonest.
That's when they go, well, I don't know if I believe anything you've said to me during our whole day. And those statements happen because of those issues.
So any of those weightier things, man, you know, just if you had disease or something transmitted or something, any of those kinds of things, I think that they would need to be shared before you made a commitment like that. I think it's just the right thing to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, man, Lyndon.
This has been great, guys.
Yeah, it's great, man.
Wow.
I just love you being here.
I appreciate the honesty and the transparency that you manage this program. It's really, really solid.
Yeah.
It's really excellent.
And again, we miss Chris being here. It's almost like a limp a little bit. Lyndon was kind of the brace that helped us get through this, though.
With us.
I certainly do miss Chris.
Absolutely.
You a three-legged dog show with only two legs. Okay.
So, anyway, guys, we hope that you've learned something, gained value through these conversations. Do me a favor, and we've never asked this either, but however you are impacted by this podcast, or if you have questions, go to the Facebook page, become a part of the group. That's one way. The other way is you can go to our Instagram and you can direct message us there if you have a question, or if you just want to say, man, what you guys are doing is really helping me. Or if you want to go, y'all, you guys are a bunch of dweebs and don't know what you're talking about. Whatever you want to say, man, we would love to hear from you. You can also email us at thecrew@renovatingmasculinity.com is our email. We would just really, really love to hear from you so that we know that we're having an impact. We need encouragement too.
Absolutely.
Because we don't know. I mean, we love the Facebook page, the group there. I mean, it's really helping us know that you guys are listening and it's being impactful. But just reach out to us, let us know.
And we are working on YouTube right now. So any of the socials, just please seek us out and follow us and share us.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And we are working on, just to kind of give a little. We are working on a Patreon page.
Oh, yeah.
We are working on that and working toward that. And we got some cool things coming up with that. Some, I think, things that are really take us to the next level as far as impact and interaction with the people that are listening to the show. So
could it be described as a little more of a closer connection to the actual cast of the podcast?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And just, again, some coaching maybe. I mean, there's going to be some opportunities that I think would be great. So anyway, Lyndon, again, thank you so much.
You're welcome, gentlemen.
And I hope you guys have enjoyed this conversation. I've learned from it.
Absolutely.
I always learn when we sit down and talk. So as we enter these holiday season, guys, have a good holidays. We're going to be back sometime in January.
Yep.
And again, as I look at Anthony, just remember, we're just men under renovation.
Amen.
Renovating Masculinity is hosted by Chris Terrell, Anthony Flemons, and JT McCraw. Produced and edited by John Fender, Ben Delameter, and Jonas Litton at Lasting Media. If you want to get your hands dirty rethinking, removing, and replacing habits that keep us from becoming renovated men, join our highly engaged private Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/renovatingmasculinity. You can also find us online at renovatingmasculinity.com and on socials at renovatingmasculinity.